This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, well, Toby Shapshack is here. How are you, sir? It's nice to see you, Tobes. Hey.
Good morning.
I'm glad you brought your own headphones.
Well, you know, I thought that's what, you know, radio
people
do.
Very professional.
No, it is.
Good morning.
Work. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thanks. What lovely good traffic you have here in Rivonia.
Isn't it great? I know you said you'd be here at 5:30. Look at the time.
I'm
Toby Shapshack is the editor-in-chief and publisher of Stuff magazine. He is regularly cited in famous publications like Forbes. He's done TED Talks across the world. And he is our foremost expert, in my opinion, on all the gadgets and all the technology that you could possibly imagine. And he's married to a very, very talented and beautiful woman. Don't know how that happened.
Yes. She's way too hot for me.
But you had a kid.
Indeed.
Last time we spoke to you on the show, I mean, I've spoken to you since then. But how's fatherhood treating you?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, I realize I'm a late bloomer in this field. But all those wonderful things people said about having kids is totally true. It is truly profoundly wonderful.
I had a lunch with you at the end of last year, and you actually were... I've never seen you so excited about anything. You said it's the best thing that's ever happened to you. And you explained to me why and how there's this little human being who's just the most fascinating gadget you've ever been involved with.
Well, what's interesting is watching someone's consciousness come online and how their brain starts to process things and what they do. I mean, the last week or two, he started crawling and watching him like work out how to use his legs, how to get his knees up, how to process it. We got him a couple of kittens, which of course is just a joy for everybody involved. But enough about me. Let's talk about you.
Okay, there are a couple of things I want to talk about. First of all, a lot of people are interested in what 2018 may bring. Certainly, Apple's been lacking in surprises lately. Samsung, they say that this S8's fantastic. Have you got anything to say about it?
Yeah, the S8 is a spectacular phone.
You like it?
Yeah, it was really great. It was our winning phone in the Gadget Awards at the end of last year. Really, really, really superb piece of technology. And it began this trend that we're seeing from everybody now, which is bezel-less phones. And what the bezel is just the black strips around the screen. And what's happened is phone manufacturers have been able to miniaturize the technology to such an extent that you don't need all that extra space. So, for instance, you know, the new iPhone 10 has a screen that's bigger than the 7 Plus, but is in a smaller frame, pretty much.
Someone said to me the other day, he's a phone manufacturer, and he told me that the number one thing people look for is still camera.
Yeah,
camera is like the biggest selling point for a phone.
And I think will be for a long time, actually, because it's what we do with the phones that makes the difference. And for most people, taking pictures is a key thing. And if you think about the power of a camera in a modern smartphone, not this year's model or last year's model is what we all were using, but let's just say the camera from 5 years ago, that is exponentially better than any camera anyone ever owned, unless they owned a very expensive DSLR.
That's right. Totally. Like, you used to have to be a professional photographer to get that level of quality, of
exactly.
HD quality.
And what's happened is the software around it, of course, has gotten so much better. So now, you know, with two lenses on the back of most of the high-end smartphones, you can do that really great portrait mode where the subject is blurred, is in focus and the background is blurred.
It's beautiful. It's like a professional studio shot.
Yeah, that you always used a long lens for. You use a longer lens so that, you know, you have a very short field
of
focus.
Do you have a camera? Do you still have a camera?
Yes, I have two, actually.
Because you used to carry a camera around with you, and I was thinking the other day, maybe you've given that up.
No, you'll be surprised at how having a child makes you want to capture the moment. And I've used this. You agree with me?
Amanda
agrees.
No, I do.
My family's constantly carrying huge cameras around because there are tons of nieces and nephews. So, yeah.
Well, huge. You know, I mean, the amazing shift in camera technology in the last 5 years or so is that instead of the much bigger DSLR, which is the digital single lens reflex, and what a single lens reflex did was it had a little mirror, so you looked through a viewfinder with a little L-shaped thing, like a reverse a submarine periscope. So you look through the viewfinder. So what you're seeing is what you will capture. That was a major breakthrough for camera technology, you know, 50 years ago. And as you pushed the picture, the mirror would flip up and expose the film and then click down. And that's where you get that distinctive click from. But what has happened since is you've got mirrorless cameras, these compact DSLRs. In fact, no one calls them compact anymore because it's the new standard. Yeah. So you can get these very tiny cameras. I have the Fuji, it's the top camera in our top 10, the FXT20. And it is unbelievable, the picture quality. And it's as good as I bought the very first sub $1,000 DSLR when it came out. It was the Nikon D70, and it was truly extraordinary what you could do. And I, for a long time, I walked around with this camera and I took pictures and I did things. And what's great is that you look back and you've got all these wonderful photographs of all your friends' kids, a couple of my friends who've, you know, died from cancer. I've got great pictures of them. And because of the quality of the camera, you capture that moment just so much better. The quality of the image itself is profoundly good. So I do. I have a camera that I use. But
tell me about this Bank Zero thing, because we've been talking a lot about cryptocurrencies and about how banking's on its way out. But then Bank Zero comes along. This is old Michael Jordan, who was pretty much the guy who started the innovation curve at FNB.
Yes, I'm sure you'd hate to hear you call him old Michael Jordan.
No. I'm still fresh and young. Sure, of course.
But the interesting thing is that he's actually said nothing. You know, I can't remember the last time, except for perhaps the Apple launch, that something got announced, certainly in South Africa, and there was so much excitement by it. You know, Capitec's been around for 20 years. They're a remarkable banking success. Yeah. But, you know, they probably didn't get a front page piece on Business Day when Michael Jordan said, we're coming out with an app-based bank. And that's pretty much all they've said. It's not going to be a commercial bank. They're not going to focus on lending you money. They're going to help you save money, and it's going to be app-based. And, of course, that's the future, isn't it? You can do these very specific services using the power of these smartphones. These smartphones are truly extraordinary. The statistic you always hear quoted is that the very first iPhone, so 10 years ago, that first iPhone, that had more power than the computer that landed humanity on the moon. Faster connection to the computer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and a camera. So, with these phones, it's totally obvious to us. We all use WhatsApp all the time, or iMessage, or Facebook Messenger. All of those things are familiar to us. They're how we use it. Why shouldn't our bank be some kind of app-based thing? And that's pretty much all we have. But it's enough to know that someone as smart and savvy as Michael Jordan, who understood this about 8 years ago when he was running F&B, and what he'd done is he'd made F&B a much more efficient organization and then launched a smartphone app in 2011. And we forget 2011. Before that, no, you couldn't do your banking on a phone unless you logged in through the browser. Yeah. It was cumbersome. It was clunky.
It's like a level of escalation required before you even go browser. So it used to be like you had to go in the bank, you had to go into the bank and do anything, and any bank admin that needed doing was like a prison sentence. Then it became possible to do a lot of it via the internet using your desktop machine. And now it's like on those rare functions where the app doesn't cover it, you're like, okay, I must go sit at my computer and log in.
Yeah.
Like it becomes a new level of schlep every time they improve.
Schlep.
Yeah, it becomes a new level of schlep every time they improve.
Speaking of schlepping, I've been reading a lot of the stuff that you've written, and you called 2017 the year of state media capture. Social media capture,
yeah. And that's, I mean, you just see more of it. I mean, in the last 2 weeks.
These Gupta bots are everywhere, right?
But they're not the only ones. I mean, Twitter's announced there were a whole, I think it was 50,000 more Russian internet trolls they weren't aware of. Mark Zuckerberg does an annual announcement. He's kind of New Year's resolution. And this year it was he's going to fix Facebook. And the way they were going to fix Facebook was basically to admit that they couldn't get on top of news, and they're going to drop news, and they're going to beef up or bump up personal updates, which is, you know, as I told you when we had lunch last year, that was the reason I stopped using Facebook. Yeah. And I deleted the app off my phone because I didn't want to get these constant updates about things that weren't relevant to me. And Facebook, like all apps, I mean, I talk about Facebook, but all apps do this. Notifications used to be a wonderful way of alerting you to something.
It was exciting as hell.
You told me last year when we had lunch, switch off your notifications, your life will improve. And it was brilliant advice. Totally. I did. No Twitter, no Facebook, no Instagram notifications. Great. Life is so much better.
And you can hone that quite clearly. So I do need to see Twitter direct messages, for instance, or specific in your email app, you can specify whose messages pop up on your screen and whose doesn't, you know. So I've worked with that kind of thing. But, you know, Facebook first, Mark Zuckerberg said, we're going to fix it. Then he came out a week later and said, we are going to give you news, but it's going to be high quality news. And then another product manager this very week came out and said they've realized they could have done more. It was a new problem they'd never seen. They could have done more, and they've been horrified at how it's been able to corrode democracy. That was his phrase, corrode democracy. So, and that's what's happened. People with very narrow interests have been able to usurp the best intentions of social media. Social media created in a democracy by well-meaning people who want to do the best, you know, or tell you what they had for lunch or who they're hanging out with or, you know, just...
other boring stuff.
Yeah.
It's been turned into a tool for propaganda.
Exactly.
Unvetted as well. But the problem, another issue with that, if I'm not mistaken, is that like now if you start vetting news, it's in someone's hands to decide what you should.
You're choosing a sensor.
So Facebook has always said it's not a media company, despite doing exactly that.
Yeah.
You know, so they're hiring another 10,000 people.
Well, I heard Google's got like 100,000 agencies that it uses to demonetize stuff that they don't want monetized on YouTube.
Yeah.
For example.
I don't know about that figure, but YouTube, I mean, I was just thinking about this last night and thinking about the column I'm going to write for the FM next week, which is everybody forgets just how huge YouTube is and what the problems with YouTube are. I mean, the kind of stuff that you can see on YouTube that children shouldn't see.
Yeah, you could watch Al-Qaeda videos.
You know, beheadings, yeah. Abuses, you know, whenever someone films school bullying, where do you think it ends up? You know, where does all the stuff happen? And this is what's gone wrong with
social media.
About
everything that happens on the East Rand, Amanda puts up on YouTube. No.
Duck bullying. There's duck bullying videos on. There's others. So you can join that community, Amanda.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. You know, the East Rand's good for something.
You and I are both huge Star Wars fans. What did you think of The Last Jedi?
I don't know if I'm ever going to be invited back on the show. Then I have to admit I still haven't seen it.
What?
Oh. Well, what? You know, it's, I was
are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's January 24th.
How does it get to this?
The multiple things. You know, I didn't want to do it over December because I was hanging out with my wife and son.
What?
And I've been promising to go with my 11-year-old goddaughter.
I'm horrified.
Spoiler, if you're ever going to like slow play one, it was this one.
Yes. So, what can I say? At least R2-D2 is on the front cover of this month's
Stuff magazine. Yeah, I see lots of Star Wars in your magazine.
That is the Star
Wars
issue.
You get a Darth Vader toaster, everybody. Yeah.
Isn't it great?
Have a look at that.
Oh, wow.
This little R2-D2 robot, let me tell you, is probably one of the best toys I've seen in years.
What is it like? It's a proper droid?
I probably should have brought it in with me. I'll bring it in next time. It's about 10 centimeters high.
Yeah?
It's a proper controllable, functional robot made by Sphero. Those guys.
I remember
make the
first Sphero. I had one, and I used to use my phone to direct it around.
Exactly.
And the dog would go crazy.
Yeah,
that was the little
cats,
round bum guy. What was his name?
Well, so the first Sphero was that, and then they made the new BB-8, which
is the guy.
Star Wars. I may not have seen the latest movie, but I do know all the slang. You even get an X-wing drone, you know.
Oh, wow.
That's very cool.
You get drones. Does it fly?
It does. You get drones shaped like the Millennium Falcon that fly. It's all very cool. And for my whole lifetime, you've watched people build these R2-D2 robots that cost. I remember the first one cost 100,000 yen.
Yo.
This is a 3,000 rand remote control robot. You can use your smartphone, and it absolutely rocks, and it works really perfectly.
What does it do aside from move around? I mean, obviously you can.
Oh, it's quite clever. It's got a whole bunch of pre-programmed noises from the movies and actions, and you can let it patrol and it'll, you know, map out the room and work out where it is. If you want to watch the movie with the drone, it will make all sorts of, it'll make all sort of noises at the appropriate time. I'm saving all of this for my 11-year-old goddaughter.
Okay, that's, I cannot believe you haven't seen it yet.
A quick question, hashtag no spoilers. Was BB-8 in this new one? Was?
Yeah.
They, he, yeah. She, it, they.
It was in it. All right, I need to know some other things. Everybody gets very excited every year. They're like, what's going to be the breakthrough thing? Everybody's talking about AI and how that's going to start impacting on ordinary daily life in a much more important way. Are you excited by any of this, or does it sound like more of the same? Because if you've been on these trend trains for a while, you start to realize there's a lot of repetition, right?
Well, what happens is they're incremental upgrades of what you've had before, and it happens every year. It's the same thing. You know, someone gushingly asked me a couple of years ago, what's the new phone going to look like? Doesn't matter which phone it is. And I jokingly said, it's going to be thinner, it's going to be lighter, and it's going to have a bigger camera. And that's
exactly what happened.
And that's what happens. And it's now I call that ShapShack's first law of cell phone upgrades. And ShapShack's second law of cell phone upgrade is it's going to be thinner, lighter, have a bigger camera, and a bigger screen.
Yeah.
You know, and worse battery life. So, you know, that's what kind of happens. So what we're going to see this year is a continuation of what we saw last year, which is AI is a big thing. It's not really artificial intelligence yet. Technically, it's still called machine learning. And what we're going to see is a significant upgrade of a bunch of that stuff. The way we experience it as consumers, well, most consumers, we don't really get them in South Africa, is Amazon's Alexa, which comes in a whole bunch of Echo speakers. So you say, hey, Alexa, you know, tune me into the Gareth Cliff show.
Is it true that Alexa is always listening?
Exactly. That's the reason I don't have it. And there are major, major security concerns. Everything that you say
is recorded. Do you have recorded. Hey, if I... Just, hey Siri, is that on your phone?
No, I've even turned Siri down.
I don't have
down.
That. Yeah, also.
So Siri, I can very specifically push the button. It's not listening to everything. And people often say to me, oh, you're being paranoid. I've got nothing to hide.
Do you close the camera on your laptop?
Yes.
You put a piece of paper.
All of those things. I mean, like people think I'm crazy and paranoid, and I'm overzealous with my privacy. I won't keep a scan of my passport or my ID number on my laptop or my phone.
I won't.
You should not be doing that.
Okay.
I've only just met you, and already I'm looking down on you.
Yeah. Sorry.
Should you have it in the cloud?
Look. If you're going to have it digitally, it's going to be stolen. Full stop. That's how it works. There's secure and safe ways to look after it. Then people go, email me your ID number. And I go, why? You know, and generally if a travel agent says, please send me a scan of your passport. The reason they want your scan of your passport is to spell your name right. I've done extensive research with everybody who's ever
so
asked
true,
me
though, that. Because when they get it wrong, those new tickets, they pay.
Exactly.
They cough hard.
So, and then they say, I can't book your flight unless you give me your ID number. And I go, I won't. So I have never done that.
Really?
Pathological. It's never impeded my travel in any way whatsoever. Huh. So as soon as that stuff is available.
You must be a delight to these people new on the job.
Yeah. At some point, you must have to hand it over. I mean,
I start by apologizing, Ben. I go, I'm really sorry. I know I sound like a crazy person. I know I do, but believe me, you should be doing the same. And then, of course, Master Deeds happens, this big leak with all of our detail, or WannaCry, or any of the other major security things happen. And then I don't look like, you know, quite as crazy as, you know, Gareth Cliff after a gym session. I look like, you know, like a normal person. And that's the kind of level of security people need to have about their privacy. And they just don't.
We
maybe go, I've got nothing to
hide.
We're not
vigilant enough.
You're crazy. You do. Your identity has value. You people sell your passport. If they've got your passport and your credit card number, that's even more value. You know, so
what about those apps that store
it.
All of that stuff?
Well, you can use different apps. You can use different things. If you want to have proper passwords, I say this to people all the time, get a password management app. It's the simplest thing you can do. They're free. One password or LastPass. That's what people should be using. I have insanely complicated passwords that you know I can barely remember. But you have, as long as you have the master password, and what you must do is write it down. You know, people go, oh, I mustn't. Write it down, put it on a post-it pad, and put it somewhere secure. You know, don't stick it on the fridge. You know, I mean, put it in a plastic packet and, you know, press stick it to the underside of the toilet if you have to, you know, the toilet cistern, yeah. So that it's safe and secure. But you can write stuff like this down. Never, ever use the same password for more than one website. Don't use a word from a dictionary. Don't use obvious things. Don't use the name of your pet or your kid. I mean, it's for this reason that my next pet will be a Scotty called Password. and just be – start to think like a Tootsie, because basically that's how everybody else does, yeah. You know.
All right. My God, I've got to go and do some patching up and changing of stuff.
Can you actually book a plane flight without – or a plane flight as opposed to a hot air balloon flight? Can you actually book a plane ticket without – at some point handing them your ID number, isn't it?
So what you have to, you don't have to do that for a local flight, but an international flight, when you check in, then the system wants your passport and your visa number, etc. Yeah. Now that's a secure way to do it. You have a secure connection from in an app or in a browser, then you enter the system directly into their system, and the system saves it in a secure way. We hope a secure way. We can't really do anything about that. And I was flying back from Nigeria last year, and SAA had this scanner in the airport, which was basically an Android phone, and they took a photograph of everybody's passport. And I just refused to let them do it. I'm like, you must be mad. That's an Android phone. People put soft malware on an Android phone. Someone could write an app that, or a piece of code that sent every photograph to a server, and they would never know. It's also insecure. It's just a phone without a password. I often come across people who don't have a PIN code or a password or a fingerprint on their phone, and they go, it's too much hassle. Well, jeez. It isn't. If you lose your phone and someone has access to your SMSs and your email, and they can change your bank password, they can change anything of yours.
Sure.
Generally, people verify it with an SMS or an email, and it's a huge potential disaster for you if that happens. So there is no excuse for not having a
password.
Did
you get anything really cool for Christmas, gadget-wise?
Yes, yes.
Because you must be impossible to buy stuff for, because you can get everything you want.
Well, I don't think people buy me technology. I certainly don't. I have a policy of never talking about my personal life, so I can't tell you about the utterly amazing Gregor Jenkin table my wife is going to buy. We're still in the process of getting it. No one buys me technology. I mean, people always say, what do you want? And I say whiskey or exclusive books vouchers. And I go to exclusive books and I buy like really great, let's say, coffee table books, because all the literature I read now I read on a Kindle.
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer.
I can't do that, hey. I know it's a no-brainer, but I love a book.
You see, I'm the same about a
newspaper.
But you
travel a lot.
I'm not sentimental about books, but I am about newsprint. So I read vociferously, but I read it all on my Kindle. And what I like about the Kindle, from the earliest days that I could hack it, and now it's built in with a backlit, is I have been waking up at 3 a.m. most of my life to turn the light off, you know. So the great thing about the Kindle is when you fall asleep, it turns itself off.
That's beautiful.
Sorry, I got one more question. I know we're struggling for time.
No, go on.
You use the iPhone.
Yes.
Now, you just said about an Android phone not being secure.
Yes.
Would you always use an iPhone because of that, regardless of how good a Samsung is or whatever it is?
Admit yes. it. You're just yes. trapped in the ecosystem.
No, I am Steve Jobs' bitch. I don't mind admitting it.
Me too.
It. But for several reasons. Firstly, Ben, yes, security is a major issue. I did a lot of research about Android, and it happened when BBM came out as an app, and I went on Android. It was available on Android first. I always have a Windows phone and an Android phone, and I downloaded what the Google Play Store said was BBM. I downloaded several versions, all of which were malware, and they want access to your contacts, your camera, your location, your blah, blah, blah. And then I went and did some research, and this is, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. At the time, one of the security companies, Trend Micro, said there were 300,000 malware apps in the Google Play Store. So now Google makes me jump through a whole bunch of hoops when it registers my credit card, make sure that I do a whole bunch of security checks.
But they don't check these apps.
Exactly. Apple's completely different. Apple is much more security conscious for different reasons. They have prioritized customer experience. They don't want people to have a bad experience. They want people to be happy and faithful because you give them their credit card to buy things from the iTunes store, the App Store. So that's a real issue for me. Yeah. And I'm very glad that I've stuck with it. And what's come out in the last year, or the end of last year, was that Android continues to track you even when you tell it not to. And when you do a factory reset, it carries on tracking you. Now, that is very, very terrifying.
Wow.
In terms of privacy. Sure, we've got nothing to hide. You know, I don't slip off to the ice cream store, you know, and eat a tub of ice cream when I should be at the gym. You know, well, I don't know. Like, I joked with someone once, is fast food the new infidelity? You know, do people pop into a Steers for a burger, when they're telling their spouse they should be like, you know, not eating carbs. But the other thing that I do is I cut and paste text a lot. I write on my phone. I do stuff. And iOS has nailed that in a way that I don't feel Android has. And I'm much more comfortable with it than I am with Android. So from a pragmatic point of view, the thing I do most on the phone is easy on iOS. But I use the Android phone because it's what 90% of the world is using. And you can't be some ivory tower journalist who doesn't muck it in with the masses. So I want to know what everyone else's experience is. It's just I prefer the experience on my iPhone. And I, of course, like, you're stuck in the ecosystem, aren't you? I don't know how many hundreds of dollars I've spent on apps. You know, I'm not going to buy those all again, am I?
Toby Shapshack, it's always nice to see you. Thanks for popping by, man. And I hope we'll catch up with you a couple more times this year.
Thank you for exposing me to this. I shall. Sure. Thank you for exposing me to this glorious Rivonia traffic.
Yeah. Everybody has to pay their price.
This is CliffCentral.com.